Probably one of the fundamental aspects of interpreting the Bible is do not do what journalists do to politicians. You know, they get them to make a little, or hear them make a little statement. They take one little statement, put it in the headlines of the newspaper, and it's not the real story that was being told. When we come to the Bible, every statement has its place, has its position in the Bible, and we are to be faithful to that very word. And we're to look at the immediate context, what was said before, what is said after. And sometimes there's the greater context, that means the whole chapter or even the whole book of the Bible on a particular theme. And that will weigh into the meaning of that very passage.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us in the program today. Today we're going to be taking a thorough look at the Bible, its background, its foundation, how we can be sure that it is truly the Word of the Living God, and what are we to do with it? Now that we have this book in our hands, in our own language, now that it is presented to us, there is now the responsibility that we receive it by faith, that we live and feed upon it, and that we be faithful to the book. And this is the task of every preacher and indeed every church, to be faithful to God's book. We are commanded to preach it. We are commanded to declare the gospel that is found within it, and to bring the Bible and challenge men to live according to the Bible, not according to the sinful ways of this old wicked world. And so I trust that as you stay tuned with us today, that you will be blessed, that you will be encouraged as we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and we look at this matter of interpreting God's Word. We will also have a few quotes from Mr. Spurgeon to wind up our program today. And so we want you to stay right through to the end of the program as we let the Bible speak on how the Bible speaks. Let that be our message today to your heart.
And do not allow twisters to come and say, where did the Bible come from? It's only written by men. It's only an ordinary book. It's only a historical thing, and people came together and they just did what they want with it. No, they did not. The Bible is the well-preserved Word of the Lord. Now, I'm speaking here about the Authorized Version. The King James Version is based on the majority text. In fairness, I have to say that the New King James Bible is also based upon the majority text. Although I have noted some publishers who will put into the New King James notes the critical remarks that really apply to the NIV or some of the other versions that are based on the minority text. And we would say that the Authorized Version, the King James Version, is the version with all the verses in it. It does not omit half of Mark 16. It does not leave out those first 9-10 verses of John chapter 9, the story of the woman taken in adultery. It does not omit Acts 8, 37. And it does not omit various other verses. Nor does it put in the notes, oldest manuscripts omit. And the oldest manuscripts, that's the minority theory. We hold to the majority principle and have every confidence that we hold in our hands an accurate copy in the English language, of course. And for those who are students, they will go back to the original text of Hebrew and Greek, and they will say, this is the Word of God. So the text matters. And the text is the foundation upon which our Bible is based. The second thing to remember is that words matter. Words matter. We have the inerrant word-for-word truth of God. We call it verbally inspired. That's the term. And it means that word for word, it is the God-given, God-breathed word. And if that is the case, each word matters. And we become students of words. And we are men, women of the word. Now that demands that we bring to the Bible what we call in interpretation the ability to exegete. You'll notice that that word has the EX at the front. And it simply means to bring out of the words the meaning. Exegete. You bring out of what that text says, what those words say, and you bring your meaning out of those very words that are written in the book. That's called exegesis. The opposite to exegesis is called eisegesis. And that means to read into the word your own ideas and your own notions, your own little theories. And that's exactly what the cults do. That's exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And, of course, they hate so many of the doctrines of the Bible. They've got to come up with some artistic way, some means of making the Bible suit their own purposes. The JWs, of course, deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of Christ. They deny the Holy Spirit of God, that He is divine. And so what do? They come up with their own translation of the Bible. They didn't like the Bible so much that they produced their own Bible, the World Translation. And they just changed it where they will. Now, you probably know about John 1:1. Also, anywhere in a New World Translation where the word Spirit or Holy Spirit is named, they never give the Spirit an uppercase S, always lowercase, because they deny that He deserves a special name or title. And they will never do that. And so they will use in their own translations, their own Bibles, they will bring their own source of authority. And it's like taking the Bible and laying upon it your own layer of thinking. And you only see in the Bible what that filter allows. That's eisegesis. That's reading into the Bible. Now, all of the cults, of course, have another source of authority. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon. The Roman Catholic Church has the tradition of the church. And in fact, it is the church that interprets the Bible. And they come to the Bible with their presupposed thinking. And again, that's eisegesis. That's reading into the Bible some external knowledge or information and bringing that to the Bible to bear upon it. Well, the only thing that we presuppose is that the Bible is the Word of God. That's the only thing we presuppose. This is God's book, and I have no right to bring my own thinking to the Bible. I must come to the Bible to learn how to think and how to understand truth. Now, there are so many groups that have their own methodology. The modernist, they play fast and loose with the scriptures. Their line is, the Bible contains the Word of God. It is not totally inspired. Another modernist say that the Bible is revealed subjectively to the reader. In other words, it's not the words as they stand alone. It is something of when you look at that, you are brought either to see it or the Spirit of God doesn't reveal it to you. And so it's become subjective. And that, again, is absolutely dangerous. And so the individual may be moved to see the truth, while another is not. And the modernist will jettison the historical facts of the Bible. They read it as Well, it's somewhat there, but you can't call it fact. You can't call it historical. And of course, out of that comes the question, was Adam a real man? When God talked about creating the world in 6 days, was it really 6 days? And when our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, was it really a physical, historical event? And so they go on and on, just playing fast and loose with the Bible. The psychology approach, we could talk about that. And then there's the contemporary popular preachers, and they redefine terms. Like there are some popular preachers today, and they will talk about sin, not as an offense to a holy God, but sin that hurts yourself, hurts your friendships, and breaks down your relations on a horizontal level. And so they redefine all of these meanings. Now, I'm just hitting haphazardly on the ills of people who handle the Word of God deceitfully and do not handle it properly. The biblical perspective is simply this. Our response is this. Words matter. If God said it or put it in His book, then I believe it. And I'm not going to work circles to try and undermine that statement, but rather I'm going to take that statement, rest in it, and rejoice in it. For example, in Acts chapter 7, it talks about the church that is in the wilderness. Did you know that that statement is a pain to a lot of people? People who have their dispensational ways of interpreting the Bible, they say, no, there was no church in the wilderness in Moses' time. There was no church then. Surely the church started at Pentecost. And so they have to try and get wiggle room now to deal with this word church in Acts chapter 7. Well, for those who want to be honest with the Bible, they will say, God put it in there. Why would we dispute it? And after all, the church did not begin at Pentecost. The church began with Adam and Eve, when God gave them the promise of a Savior, because in the Bible there is one gospel, one Redeemer, one church, and there is a unity between the Old Testament and the New. So, the Bible text matters, words matter, and grammar matters. That's the order of words. Text matters, words matter, and grammar matters. You see, we do not treat the Bible like playing Scrabble. When you play Scrabble, there's a little bag and you're allowed to take out 7 letters at a time, and you line up those letters and you can make any word you want out of it. And then, of course, you look at the board and you see the words that are there and you try and come up with a word that's going to be the highest score for you. That's how you play Scrabble. It's a game. When you come to the Bible, we're not going to be playing a game, because this book was written in a real living language with communication that had meaning, sense, word construction that conveyed and communicated truth. Now, Hebrew and Greek are two of the great languages in the world because from the earliest times, they were written languages. They were put in writing. They were not word symbol languages. They were letter word languages, and they were written. And so in the Word of God, word order, what we call syntax in grammar, is very important. And you are not allowed to change the word order at whim. For example, down at the end of this book, you'll notice where it says in verse 18, grow in grace. There's just a little phrase, an exhortation, grow in grace. And Peter said this to call God's people to action, to grow in strength, to abound in the power and joy of the gospel. Now, you can't change the word order. You can't flip that around and make it grace in grow, because firstly, grow is a verb. It's a doing word. It's a call to action. And that order that is given there is obviously going to bring out the meaning. Grace is a noun. It's a description, a name for growing stronger, and enjoying the power of the gospel in your life. And you can't reverse the order at whim. And as we come to handle the Word of God, we are students of words, and we are students of language. And why is this so important? Because our task is always to be looking for the meaning. Our Bible reading is no better than reading a comic strip if we do not look for the meaning. And every time you sit down with your Bible and you read a passage, you read a few verses, you should be asking, what does this mean? What is the Spirit of God stating in that statement, that text, that sentence, that paragraph? And we're looking for the meaning. And that's where Bible interpretation comes into its own. Now, there are many people with false doctrines and heresies, these who twist and torture the Scriptures, and they will tell you, well, we got our doctrine out of the Bible. We got it out of the Bible. But in reality, they so twisted the language, so contorted the words, that they made the Bible teach something contrary to the truth. And of course, if you don't get the meaning, you're going to get the wrong application. And you will end up going in a direction that is wrong, harmful, destructive. And then people will blame the Bible and say, well, we got it out of the Bible. But they did not come to its proper meaning. And that is why people of all kinds, as I say, they talk about getting their meaning out of the Bible. Cults do this. The Mormons do this. They get their polygamy, they say, from the Bible. They get their idea that they're going to be gods one day in heaven, as gods. And they say they get that out of the Bible. In the days of the Lord Jesus, the Jews did that. They twisted the Bible for their own ends. The Sadducees did so. They did not believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. And so they came to the Lord Jesus asking the question that when a man has married seven times in the life to come, whose wife shall she be, or whose husband shall she be, or he be? And of course, the Lord said, ye know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. And he went on to talk about the resurrection. And of course, the Sadducees, they had denied that all along. Then you have the Quakers. They had their meetings, and what they did, they just had meetings with silence. And instead of any ministry or preaching, they would just sit in a meeting in silence, waiting for the Spirit of God to speak. And of course, usually people got up and they began to talk afterwards about what they heard the voice of God say. And of course, they would say they got that out of the Bible. Liberals, well, they have taken the position that the Bible has no morality, that there's such a disconnect between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the law of God doesn't stand anymore, throw it away, and it leads into all kinds of problems. And the Lord Jesus summed it up very well when he said in Matthew 7 that it's not he that says, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth my will and keeps my word. He's like the man that's building his house upon a rock, whereas those who hear his word and do not keep it are like the man who built his house on the sand. So it is important that we make language matter. One more and we'll wrap up. Context matters. Probably one of the fundamental aspects of interpreting the Bible is do not do what journalists do to politicians. You know, they get them to make hear them make a little statement. They take one little statement, put it in the headlines of the newspaper, and it's not the real story that was being told. When we come to the Bible, every statement has its place, has its position in the Bible, and we are to be faithful to that very word. And we're to look at the immediate context, what was said before, what is said after. And sometimes there's the greater context, that means the whole chapter or even the whole book of the Bible on a particular theme, and that will weigh into the meaning of that very passage. Let me give you one example before we close here tonight. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and to verse 20. And I preached on this and we went through this earlier in our series, but you'll notice it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, we came to understand that that word interpretation really means origination. It's of private origin. No single person originates God's word. And we understand that. We came to that conclusion because verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. And this is a case in point where context is our guide. We don't run off with just a little statement on its own. We look at where it's situated in the Bible, what comes afterward, what's the application, and we see from that and we get a better understanding from that. And so we must always take the context into place. Now I'm going to end here tonight because I have three more points and I'm not going to preach them tonight, but here's the three points. Consistency matters. Covenants matter. We believe in the Westminster Confession of Faith, there is a covenant way of interpreting the Bible. And then seventhly, seeking Christ matters. We are to seek Christ in all the Scriptures. And if we don't see Christ, we've missed the message. And how many come to the Bible with their preconceived notions, looking for verses and texts and position statements that will help them in their own ideas, and they miss the very person of the book. The Lord Jesus said that the Scriptures were written of Him. He's the central person. And whether you're in the book of Genesis, in the book of Isaiah, or in the minor prophets, or in the Gospels, or in the epistles, or in the book of Revelation, who should we be looking for? The Lord Jesus. He is the center of the Bible. And if your Bible reading is not leading you to personal communion with the Savior, you're missing the very blessing of the book. So may the Lord help us to be armed against those who twist, torment, and pervert God's word. And may we ever tremble and take our stand for God's truth. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Bible reading, Bible teaching, Bible interpretation. Well, we've got to start with the right text, and then we've got to start with the right use of the Bible. Mr. Spurgeon said, when you shall come before God, He shall say, did you read my Bible? No. I wrote you a letter of mercy. Did you read it? No. Rebel. I sent you a letter inviting you to me. Did you ever read it? Lord, I never broke the seal. I kept it shut up. Wretch, says God, then you deserve hell. Oh, let it not be so with you. Be Bible readers, be Bible searchers. And yes, we wonder, how shall we give account on that great day with the mighty blessing of the Bible God has provided? And yet we haven't fed upon it, we haven't opened it, read it, studied it, haven't gone to a church where we will hear it preached and expounded, but we have chosen to go to those places that deny it or neglect it. How will the Lord receive us on that day? Mr. Spurgeon said that Bible study is the metal that makes a Christian.
This is the strong meat in which holy men are nourished. This is that which makes the bone and sinew of men who keep God's way in defiance of every adversary. Well, here we are. And so we take heed today to these words of counsel. I wonder, will you really get serious about reading, studying, meditating, praying over the Bible? Mr. Spurgeon again said, some people like to read so many chapters every day. I would not dissuade them from the practice, but I would rather lay my soul a-soak in half a dozen verses all day than rinse my hand in several chapters. Oh, to be bathed in the text of Scripture, and to let it be sucked up into the very soul, till it saturates your heart. Set your heart upon God's Word. Let your whole nature be plunged into it as cloth in the dye. Well, these are mighty words. These are mighty words. The Bible is not just for a quick read. It's not something that we just glance over, but rather we are to bathe, meditate, let the Word dwell in us richly, the Apostle says in Colossians chapter 3. And when we do so, it will renew our minds, it will change our very nature, we will be thinking God's thoughts after Him. There's good theology for you, thinking God's thoughts after Him. And where do we find God's thoughts? Well, we find it in His Word, where He has spoken clearly, infallibly, and it is His love letter to our souls. And so every Christian will take the Bible to heart. I trust that today that you will be blessed through these exhortations and these words of to stir you to real Bible commitment. If I can be of any help, maybe you need a Bible. Maybe you need a copy of God's Word. We could help you with that. We have New Testaments. We have Gospel portions. We have the whole Bible that's available. There is no excuse in this day and age for anyone to be without a Bible. May the Lord bless you through His precious Word. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to give you a personal invitation to come along to our church services any Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bring your family and friends as we preach the message of salvation. Of course, you can join us by webcast right here at these times, 10:30 and 6, and you can join us on your own computer to view by video and by audio. If perhaps you have missed part of the program today or you'd like to hear this message again, you can go to our website. So you'll get all the information there. If you go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get a map of our church, times of service, you'll get a contact button, a donate button, and you can be a part of this ministry, and we invite you to do so. Now, listeners on Vancouver Island and in Victoria, we invite you also to our church services there at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays. You will be most welcome at the services there, and the people will receive you gladly as they worship the Lord and stand for the Lord Jesus. It's important for Christians to take a public stand and be a part of the fellowship of God's people. Now, the website again is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Give me a phone call if you wish, 604-576-1091. We look forward to hearing from you. Join us again, please, as we let the Bible speak.